Morning.
Morning. 大家早.
Before we begin, I'd like to remind you of some of the things that we've looked at previously in this book.
我先跟大家复习一下以前我们在这本书里面所念过的.
Paul the Apostle,
使徒保罗,
writing towards the end of his ministry,
在他的事工的晚年所写的,
to a young man that he trained into the ministry.
写给一个年轻人是他,
he's writing to Timothy.
他是写给提摩太,
and Timothy is currently the pastor, what, during this book, of the church of Ephesus.
在这本书的写这本信的时候,
and you remember that Paul was the one who planted the church of Ephesus.
你们记得以弗所的教会是保罗所建立的,
and Timothy was with him on this trip.
在他建立教会的时候,
Timothy was a well-known man in this church,
提摩太在这个教会里面是大家所熟悉的,
which is why he eventually became the pastor of the church.
所以这就是为什么后来他变成这个教会的牧师.
And so Paul begins this book with a command warning Timothy of the false teachers within the church.
所以他写给提摩太这本书一开始就是警戒他会有一些假教师,
that there are those who are holding to different doctrines than the gospel that had been given by Paul. And these are people who are wanting to bind people to laws unnecessarily. And so Paul explains the goodness of law, and the right and proper use of the law. And so then Paul reminds Timothy of Paul's personal testimony. That Paul was the most evil, most wicked of sinners. But Jesus Christ came personally to save him. And so at the end of verse 17,
所以在第17节结束的地方,
Paul's contemplation of the gospel.
这里保罗对于福音的, 事业昼夜的思念,
leads him to a magnificent statement of praise to God. And he says in verse 17,
所以他在17节说,
he gives a benediction to God. He says, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
所以他说, 愿尊贵荣耀归于那不能朽坏, 不能看见永世的君王独一的神, 直到永永远远。
And so we pick up in verse 18.
所以我们从18节开始,
where Paul says that this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child.
他就是说, 我把这个命令交托给你, 我儿提摩太。
And the idea of charge is a command.
这是一个命令。
And here he's laying out the structure of his book.
他就把这一本书信的结构做了一个基础。
Where the book is going to be a series of very specific commands of how the church ought to be run.
所以这一本书信就是写出一个教会应该怎么样 来,
as we're going to see in a few minutes, it begins with a charge of prayer. In chapter
2,
verses
1
through
8.
第二章第一节到第八节, he's going to give a charge concerning women. In verses
9
through 15. Beginning in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7.
在第三章第一节到第七节,
he's going to give a charge concerning pastors and elders.
他是给牧师跟长老监督的命令。
And verses 8 through 13,
第八节到第十三节,
he's going to give a charge concerning the deacons.
他是给执事们的命令。
In verses 14 through 16, he takes a pause from the charges for a moment.
然后第14节到第16节, 他暂时
and then the center of his book, he explains why he's giving these charges.
在这本书的中心, 他讲为什么有这些命令。
And he says in verse 15, 15节他说, of chapter 2.
第二章的第十五节,
he says, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth.
这是第三章的第十五节。倘若我单言日久，你也可以知道在神的家中当怎样行，这家就是永生神的教会，真理的柱石和根基。
So thus the purpose of this book is the order of the church.
是教会的次序。
Would you like to have a well-ordered church?
你是不是希望有一个很有次序的教会?
Then we need to be very careful about how we obey the words of this book.
那么我们就应该很小心地来遵守这一本书信所写的。
And he continues on and gives more commands, which we'll look at a later time.
然后他以后我们会再看他继续给一些其他的命令。
But if you look at chapter 4, verse 6,
只要你看第四章第六节,
this is what Paul says to the young man in ministry.
这是保罗对年轻的从事神工作的人说的。
He says, if you put all these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus.
你若将这些事提醒弟兄们，便是基督耶稣的好执事。So
here's how it's supposed to work.
这是应该怎么样做的?
Paul lays out for the young men in ministry how the church ought to be run.
保罗给在服事的年轻人下了个命令，应该怎么样工作。
Timothy, the young man in the ministry, then lays this teaching out very carefully for the church.
那么提摩太就把这些命令
And this is what we're hoping to do here.
这也就是我们在我们教会里面希望怎么样做。
Having stated that, I'd like to make a brief comment on the nature of the order of church.
我想暂时说一些有关教会次序的事情。
There are two possibilities of how the church can be run.
在一个教会里面有两种不同的方法来行事。
Everyone who is a true Christian believes that the Bible is the handbook for how church ought to be run. And so we look at the Bible, and we find out that the Bible isn't clear or specific in a lot of areas. So what do we do about the issues that aren't necessarily listed in Scripture?
那我们该怎么办呢?
What do we do about certain church programs that aren't listed in Scripture?
假如有一些教会的节目在圣经上没有记载，我们该怎么办呢?
There are two possible options.
大概我们可以有两个选择。The
first one is called the normative principle. And that states, if the Bible doesn't talk about it, we can do whatever we want. I don't think that's what Paul has in mind when he's writing this book. The other principle is the opposite about it. It says, if it is not explicitly stated in Scripture for the church, then we reject it for our practice. This is what's known as the regulative principle. In other words, the Scripture lays out what is acceptable for practice in a church.
换句话说，这圣经让我们知道在教会里面怎么样做是合圣经的。
And if anything is not listed,
只要在圣经上没有记载的,
is rejected,
就不要做。
And so if someone comes into our church,
只要有人来到我们教会,
and says, I have a great idea for how we ought to do things in our church,
他说我有对我们教会做事有个很好的想法,
we say, okay,
我们说好啊,
show us your idea.
告诉我们你的想法,
and show us the Bible to back it up.
然后你怎么样用圣经来证明这是好的,
and if they can't demonstrate that to us,
然后他没有办法证明,
we reject it.
我们就不要接受。
So having said that, let's jump into this text.
那我们现在就回到圣经里面。
He begins by saying in verse 18, "This charge I entrust to you." Now this statement, "this charge," he's speaking of the entire book. He's giving this book to Timothy in order to tell him how he ought to run the church. And this is something that Timothy's pastor is something that was what he says prophesied within the church. Now a prophet within the first century was a person who was giving direct revelation from God. At the time of Timothy's salvation, at the time when Timothy was traveling with the Apostle Paul, they did not have the entirety of the New Testament. So you have to ask the question. Someone comes teaching something. And you ask yourself, how do we know if this is the Word of God? There were people within the church who were known to be prophets. That there were times when they would speak. And what they would speak would be known as to be the words of God. We do not have these kinds of prophets today. Because we have everything that we need for life and godliness in this book. So there were prophecies given about Timothy's involvement within a ministry. And so that Timothy is supposed to look back retrospectively at these prophecies. And he's supposed to fight the good fight. And so the ministry here is described as a battle. And the means by which he's to fight the fight is found in verse 19. He says he is to hold on to the faith and good conscience. This word, the faith, refers to the doctrines that are being taught. It's the body of truth found in the scriptures as revealed by God. And he's to hold to a good conscience. A clean conscience. This is the idea of having no sin in your life between you and between God and between others. The danger of giving up faith and a good conscience. If you begin to allow the doctrines of Scripture to erode in your mind, and if you begin to live your life in a manner that is not pleasing to God, in verse 19, there's a warning that some have made shipwreck of the faith. And so Paul uses a metaphor. A metaphor of which he's quite familiar. By this time, he's probably already been shipwrecked at least three times that we know of. And every single time, he survived. But he realizes the peril of the sea when a boat crashes into the rocks. And there are some that have made shipwreck of the faith because they have not lived the Christian life pleasing to God. They have not kept a clean conscience. And so if you're the young man in ministry, Timothy wonders, have I ever seen this shipwreck before? And so Paul points back to a previous event in Ephesus. And he names names of two men within the church who are under church discipline.
他就提了两个人, 他们是被教, 教会所教, 教训的人。
Their names are Hymenaeus and Alexander.
所以他们是徐米奈跟亚历山大。
And their sin was the sin of blasphemy.
所以他们的犯罪是愧读神的罪。
Which is speaking negative things about the God of heaven.
就是, 讲有关神的坏话。
And it says that he handed them over to Satan. And this is an expression of casting them outside of the walls of the church.
换句话是就把他们赶出教会以外去了。For
within the walls of the church, there's a protection.
因为在教会的四围里面有保护。
And outside of the walls of the church, there's great temptations.
所以在教会外面有很大的诱惑。
It's a word that's also used within the context of discipline in 1 Corinthians chapter
5.
So in chapter 2, verse
1,
we have the first command. And it begins by saying, first of all, the most important thing for a church to be a healthy church, for a church to be a well-ordered church,
要一个教会,
we must understand that a godly church is a praying church.
我们一定要知道,
and he says, Paul says, the most important thing is that we pray.
保罗说,
and he uses four specific words for prayer. He says supplications.
就是代求,
that's a specific prayer asking for a specific need. He says prayers.
然后说祷告,
this is a more general word for prayer. But in a specific context, it can be used for the idea of entreaty.
或者是说,
you go before the king, and you ask the king for a favor, and you beg the king, who is a greater being, that he may give you something in your favor. It's a word for prayers. Intercessions, which is a prayer given for another person. Thanksgivings.
感谢, 祝谢。
And thanksgivings are the idea of being grateful for the things that we've been given.
感谢是我们要为我们所得到的献上我们的感恩。
And it's to be made for all people.
像是为万人求求。
So for whom should we pray?
我们为什么人求?
There are three groups of people listed here.
这里有三种人在这里写出来。
Number one, we are to pray generally for all people.
第一, 我们要为普通的万人求。
There are over 6 billion people in this world.
在这个世界上有6000万人。
We'll look in a moment, what should we pray for these people?
我们要怎么为这些人求?
But it says to pray for all people.
他说要为万人求。
It says in verse 2,
第二节,
to pray for kings.
要为君王求。
I must remind you at this time who Paul is asking Timothy to pray for.
在这时候我要提醒你, 你要知道保罗要提摩太为什么人求。
Paul is writing this book in the early 60s.
在这本写这本书信的时候, 保罗是差不多60岁出头,
probably 61 or 62.
可能61岁,
and if you think to Roman history during this time,
假如想这个时候在罗马的历史上,
the emperor of the Rome, of Rome,
罗马的君王,
was Nero.
是尼罗。
And if you remember some of the things that Nero did,
你假如想到他所做的一些事情,
Nero blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians.
And
in order to punish the Christians, while they were still alive, he covered them with wax. And he used them as candles for his dinner party. It's a horrible way to kill people. He was known for persecuting Christians. He eventually has Paul beheaded. He eventually has the Apostle John buried, boiled in oil. And unfortunately for John, he survives. He has the Apostle Peter hung upside down. He's a wicked and terrible man. But what does Paul say? He doesn't say hate the man. He doesn't say despise the man. He doesn't say try to overthrow the man. He says pray for the man. And so here we learn that we should pray for political leadership no matter what position we have. Prayer is a non-partisan issue. It's not that we pray for members of one political party or the other. Here in America, pray for the local, national, and state leadership. Let me list some of these from you. President and Vice President Barack Obama and Joe Biden. State leadership, Tim Pawlenty. Your senators, Al Franken, Amy Klobuchar. Your state representatives. And I'll just list these for you. Timothy Walz, John Klein, Eric Paulson, Betty McCollum, Keith Ellison, Michelle Bachmann, Colin Peterson, and James Oberstar. These are people who have political authority and leadership over us. If they make a law, and we disapprove of the law, the solution is not civil disobedience. The solution is prayer. If you are concerned with the direction that your country is taking, then you pray for your country. In China, when Chairman Mao was in power, the responsibility of the Christians then, even though that they were being persecuted by him, and even though there are stories of missionaries getting cut down in the streets by the communists, the responsibility is to pray for them. The current communist leadership in China, even though they may still persecute the church, even though they may still torture some of the local church leadership, our responsibility as believers is to pray for these leadership. Do you want something different to happen in these countries? Imagine what would happen if the church began to pray for political leaders, not just here, but everywhere else.
就想一想, 你想象不出, And
you know why prayer is so important? Because we have a God who listens and answers prayer.
Because 我们有一位神, 他是听祷告,
so we are to pray for all men. We are to pray for political leadership. We are also to pray for all who have authority. And this is greater than political leadership. Of those of you here who work, how many of you have a boss? At all of my jobs, I have a hierarchy of bosses. I have multiple people under whom I answer. And if I don't like some of the policies at work, my response is not to complain, to grumble, to groan. My response must be to pray for them. In our church,
在我们教会,
there are authorities here. We currently do not have a pastor, but we have four deacons. And they would readily agree with you that they need prayer.
他们会同意,
do some of you have some anxiety and fear about the direction that our church may take? Then your responsibility is to pray for those who are in authority in the church. So pray for kings, it says.
这里说为君王祷告,
it says for all those who are in high positions. And what should we pray for these people? We'll see implicitly in a moment that we're praying for the salvation and the spiritual life of these people. Their relationship with God determines the direction that they lead people. Barack Obama's relationship with God will determine the direction he takes the country. The deacons and the other leaders in this church, their relationship with God will determine the direction in which they take the church. Your employers, their relationship with God, will affect your job and the direction that they take the company. It says to pray for all men. And all men in the world, their relationship with God determines the progress of history and mankind. And so why then do we pray? He says at the end of verse 2,
在第二节后面说,
so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Did you know that it's a good thing to pray that persecution doesn't happen? But he never says, don't pray that persecution doesn't happen. He says, pray for those who will bring the persecution. Because it is a good thing to live a peaceable life. How many of you would enjoy persecution and suffering? Raise your hands. Nobody?
没有人,
nobody likes pain?
没有人喜欢痛苦,
nobody here really likes the concept of being tortured and burned alive?
没有人愿意被活活的烧死,
pick up a copy of the old book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, sometime.
你只要找到一本被这个卫生续命的人的那本书,
and just read through some of the accounts.
你可以看一看那一些所记载的,
and say to yourself with a smile on your face,
所以你就不会再笑,
I want that guy who was just tortured to be me.
我愿意是被那个被这个逼迫的人,
it's completely ludicrous.
这种人你完全是疯子,
none of us would ever speak like that.
每个人我们会疯成这个地步,
so he says, pray so that you might live a quiet and peaceable life.
所以我们祷告的目的是要平安无事的度日,
and this peaceable life is characterized by two things.
那么这个平安的生命呢, 有两种特征,
number one, it's godly.
第一是敬虔的,
and number two, it's with dignity.
第二是端正的,
and this peaceful life, it says, is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior.
所以这个是好的, 在我们神救主面前蒙悦纳,
did you know it is a pleasing thing to God when we don't live in persecution?
你知不知道, 是会讨神的喜悦,如果我们不受逼迫的话。
Now, I don't want to go too far in saying that God never extends persecution our way.
那我不会说神会把逼迫完全除去。
Certainly He does.
他可以。
And we know that, we learn elsewhere that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
我们也知道,在别的地方圣经说过,凡是这个敬虔,
but it is a pleasing thing to God to not have to go through persecution.
可是呢, 神会很高兴, 假如我们不受到逼迫的话, 神也会很高兴。
But the means of escaping persecution is not, Lord, help me escape persecution.
可是我们假如说, 不想受逼迫, 我们不要说求神让我们不要受逼迫。
The means of escaping persecution is, Lord, save my persecutors.
那换句话说, 你要求神不让你受逼迫, 你要求神去拯救逼迫你的人。
And how do we know that we're supposed to pray this prayer for God to save our persecutors?
我们怎么知道我们要祷告求神拯救逼迫我们的人呢?
Because he says very clearly in verse 4,
所以在第四节, 他讲得很清楚,
that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
他愿意万人得救,
how do we know that God wants us to escape from persecution by saving our persecutors?
为什么我们神知道他可以除去我们不受逼迫是用拯救逼迫我们的人的办法呢?
Because Paul makes the argument that God desires to save all men, therefore he desires to save the ones persecuting you.
Because 保罗说神要拯救万人, 所以他会拯救逼迫我们的人。
And there are two descriptions here of salvation.
这里对于得拯救有两种形容。
Number one, he says the word to be saved.
第一点, 他说得拯救。
And this concept of salvation is a metaphor.
所以他这里面对得拯救是有个 预表,
you're being saved from something.
你要从某一些事情里面拯救出来。
In this case, you're being saved from the wrath of God.
也在这里就是我们从神的愤怒里面被拯救出来。
And it says to come to the high knowledge of the truth.
所以能够明白真理。
And this is a metaphor of enlightenment.
所以这个也就是说我们能够得到了解,
that there is a cognitive knowledge that comes from salvation.
所以从得救带来我们对真理的了解。
And it's the kind of knowledge that is a relational knowledge.
所以这一种知识是关系方面的知识。
It's a knowledge of people.
所以能够对人有了解。
It's like as if I say, I have a knowledge of my wife.
就好像我说我认识我的太太,
I know that she has reddish brown hair.
我知道她有这个黄色的头发,
I know that she has green eyes.
我知道她有绿色的眼睛,
But it's more specific than that kind of knowledge.
But 有一种更比较特别仔细的,
I know my wife in a sense that I have a constant and consistent relationship with her.
我知道我的，我了解我的太太，因为我跟她有一种经常一起的关系。
I not only know the things that she likes and dislikes.
我不但知道她喜欢跟不喜欢的事。
I know her.
我认识她。
I sometimes know what she's thinking and feeling.
有的时候我了解她怎么想怎么说。
I know some of her mannerisms and her moods.
我知道她的情感，我也知道。
I have a relationship with her built over time.
我跟她的关系是建立的，经过一段时间所建立的。
And this is the metaphor that's used when a person becomes a believer, they begin to gain this sort of relational knowledge concerning God.
这里就是这里的所谓的比喻，当一个人得救以后，他要跟神有一个这一种。
It's more than just being able to list the big theological words. I know that God is omniscient and immutable.
不仅仅是我们只对神有一些表面上的了解，我们知道我们的神是无所不知的。
Those are important, but this is not here what it means to know God.
那个是重要的，可是那个并不是这里说我们要怎么样认识神。
That's a small aspect of it. But the greater part is I have a consistent relationship with God, thus I can say I know God. And it says that God desires this for all men. And so we have another question. Why does God desire all men to be saved?
另外一个问题, 为什么神愿意万人都得救呢?
He says in verse 5,
在第五节他说了,
There is one God.
只有一位神,
and this is remnant of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4.
所以这是从, 生命记第六章第四节来的,
Let's turn there for a moment.
我们去生,
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4.
生命记六章四节.
Hear, O Israel,
以色列啊,
the Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
耶和华, 我们神是独一的主.
Paul states clearly,
保罗讲得很清楚,
that there is one and only one true and living God.
我们只有一位,唯独的一位,真实的,
that is to say that you don't have a choice to worship another God.
换句话说,
that is to say that there is no other Baal to worship.
换句话说,
within an Old Testament context. There is not a God Allah, which a quarter of the world's population worships. There is not a Buddha, who is some kind of God that people worship. There is not any of the million Indian gods. There is one and only one true and living God. So this desire for all to come to the knowledge of salvation is based on the fact that there is only one God. There is only one way to have a relationship with God.
That's
what he says. There is one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. I do know some people that claim. Yes, I believe that there is one God.
是的,
but I believe that there is many ways to get to that one God. That is contrary to Scripture. You cannot say that and rightly be called a Christian. There is one and only one true and living God. There is one and only one means by which to get to God. And this is the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He's the mediator between God and man. This is reminiscent of the Old Testament priesthood. You remember that the Old Testament priests, in order to allow an atonement for sin to be made, he first had to make a sacrifice of blood to cover his own sin. And then he could make a sacrifice of blood for the sins that had been committed by others. In other words, he became the mediator between God and man. If a person within the Old Testament context was going to make a sin offering, it was very much forbidden for them to make their own sin offering. They had to come to the central place of worship. The place in which the mediator was. And so they'd make a sacrifice offering for their sins. And then once a year, the priest would kill a goat for the sins of the people. And he'd carry it all throughout the camp of Israel. And people would lean all of their weight on the sheep. And as they were leaning on the sheep, the priest would read to them the sins that they committed in the previous year. And then he'd take the sheep which had the sins for all the people of Israel. And he would kill it and he'd collect the blood. And he'd carry the blood into the central holy place in which was the Ark of the Covenant. And he would sprinkle blood on top of that. And the people would receive forgiveness of their sins among themselves with the people of Israel. And so that as a nation they could have restored fellowship with God. But it was necessary for them to do this through a mediator. We, within the pages of the New Testament, we have a mediator. But this mediator is different. This mediator never had to sacrifice for his own sin. And the sacrifice that the mediator made was ultimately himself. So in shedding his blood upon the cross, he pays an actual price of sin for all. That's what it says in verse 6. It says he gave himself as a ransom for all. But the sacrifice of sin is only given to those who believe and to those who have heard the message of the gospel. And those who have accepted the truth, which is why it says in verse 7, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle.
我为此奉派做传道的，做使徒。
All men can be saved.
所有的人都能得救。
But it is the responsibility of the church.
可是是教会的责任。
To carry the message of the gospel to these men.
把这些福音带到人面前。
So it's simply not enough.
所以不够的。
To just say, I'm going to pray for our political leadership.
假如我们只说为政治领袖们祷告，是不够的。
We must be what's called the church marching.
我们一定要说这个教会是要有进展的。
At the end of our time here,
在我们结束的时候,
some of you are going to walk out of this door.
你们有一些人会离开这个门。
Some of you are going to go home.
你们有一些人要回家。
And you're going to remember that you're a Christian. But how often do you bring that Christianity and bring that gospel to other people? Within your sphere of influence. It's not enough to pray for your employer's salvation. You must share the gospel with
him.
It's not enough to work and pray for your local leadership. You need to share the gospel with them. Because it's the gospel that will ultimately make the difference in their lives. Because there's no salvation without the death of Christ. And there's no salvation without someone carrying the message of the gospel to them. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. We have a Friday night prayer meeting. And there are a number of people that attend. In most churches, it's much smaller on Friday night than what appears on Sunday. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what is important? Why do we have corporate prayer meetings? Because Paul commands that we are to be praying for specific things. If you're here, and you're a believer, and you're a member of this church, and you don't attend the prayer meetings, shame on you. Because a healthy church is ultimately speaking a praying church. And we're praying for people within the church. But we're also praying for a larger world. We're praying for the salvation of souls. We're praying for the political leadership. We're praying for local leadership. We're praying for our employers. We're praying for our friends. We're praying for our families. And as an introduction to next time, let me show you verse 8. Ultimately speaking, who is to be doing the praying in church? It says, I desire that in every place the men or the males should pray. When we have public corporate prayer, in a lot of churches that I've seen, there are very few men in the prayer meeting, and a lot of women in the prayer meeting. Do you want to have a healthy church that pleases God? I'm specifically talking to the men of the church right now. You need to come to church, and you need to be the ones that are leading the church and leading your families in prayer. And this is ultimately the important thing.
最重要的,
and as Paul says, the most important thing
保罗认为最重要的,
for us to have a healthy church.
让我们,
let's close with a word of prayer. Father, you have given us your command.
天父, 你把你的命令给了我们,
that we as a church,
我们是一个教会,
we need to be a praying church.
我们应该是一个祷告的教会,
and we pray, Father, for the leadership that you have put over us.
我们请求你放在我们领导我们的人,
in the church, currently our deacons.
我们现在教会里的执事们,
in our governments, those who you have appointed over us.
And
our elected officials.
我们所选出来的代表们,
and Father, we pray for our employers.
我们为我们的雇主祷告,
again, more people you've put over us in our lives.
更多的人你放在我们生命中来管理我们,
help us, Father,
帮助我们,
to remember to pray.
记得要祷告,
to pray for their salvation, for their spiritual life, so that we can live a peaceful life, a life that is ultimately speaking pleasing to you. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Watson, 牧师的教导.
We thank Pastor Watson.